But see, in order to walk in the authority of a king and a priest, you need to have the foundation of Christ. So your roots need to be in the foundational, are we good here? The foundational studies of the Word of God. We do not read through the Bible here every week or even in our Bible studies because we're assuming, I'm just telling you this, we're assuming that you're doing that. So there's a chronological going through. There's, you know, reading the Gospels over and over again. There's all different kinds of things that we can do in order to stay in the presence of the Lord. Just one little part was experiencing your living fire moving through the journey that you have for me, walking, sitting, and standing in the seasons. King's priest's power authority. I want you to say, King's priest's power authority. King's priest, power, authority. If you hear this message, it will change your life. Every week that the messages are being brought forth in this church, in this body, they are life-giving. And they are filled with the anointing of God. And I can tell you this only because Pastor Roy and I spend the whole week praying and fasting and reading the Word and studying and asking God for direction and unction. So, Lord, we just come into your presence and thank you for the reality of who you are in our lives, all that you have for us today. I thank you for the truth that is in your word and that you have given me such wisdom and understanding, and you have filled me with an ability to believe you as I continue to study your word, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I thank you, Lord, that the foundational stone, which is the cornerstone of the living Christ, is mine and belongs in this church also. We are living stones, a royal priesthood, standing on the cornerstone, which is the living Christ. In Jesus' name. So, the name of this message is Roots in Christ, the case for kings and priests. Are you a king and a priest of God? Yes, you are. Do you have trouble saying that? Okay, well, that's okay. But your confession stops the voice of the enemy immediately. And you know what Steve said about singing? I was praying this morning for all of you, what the Lord, the vision the Lord showed me was, because Pastor Roy and I pray all day on Saturday and go through, you know, whatever messages, and the house is filled with praise. Our hearts are, you know, lifting up the Lord. We're walking in and out of different rooms and just praising the Lord. And what he showed me was that your voice, it's not our voices, because Pastor Roy and I are already in agreement and already in praise and worship. And under the anointing, when you come in and you all begin to sing, there's just a cloud of glory that comes up. So each one of your voices and each person that's missing, their voice is missing from the song, the new song in this church. Every church probably has their own song, but this song, this church is filled with the new song, which has to do with the revelation of the word and the revelation of the reality of the living Christ. So it is, of again, the utmost importance that we remain rooted in Christ. And as we continue to grow, there's a reality. And in the Greek and the Hebrew, in one different portion of Scripture, it says truth, and the definition of it is reality. So I would say, you know, what is your reality? Where do you go first in your heart, in your mind? When you get up, when you go to bed, when something happens, where do you really go? What is your first reality? His truth, we want that truth, that reality, become evident because we're maturing. We, each of us, need to begin to walk in a greater measure as a king and a priest. I'm going to give you some definitions of kings and priests. I'm going to give you the scriptures that say that we are kings and priests. I'm going to give you a definition of what a priest's garb is, which really opened my heart in a whole nother way. And, you know, I was singing that Fill Me Up, God song. I heard that a couple weeks ago in a couple of different versions. But all the Lord kept saying to me was, every time you sing that, and I've been singing it, fill me up, is that he just comes in, he opens up more and more of us inside in our spirits to receive more and more of him. So it is a filling, it's an infilling that we need. And we don't get that unless we sit quietly with him. Psalm 62. All that I am, wait before the I am, and quiet. So we have to walk as kings and priests filled with power and authority. Kings and priests, power and authority. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, if you study the book, there's sitting, walk, sitting, stand. Sit, stand, walk. All those three elements of our reality in Christ is in Ephesians. You can read and study it. We do go through seasons in our lives. Not all of us are in the same season. But whatever season we're in, the power of the living God is within us because we are walking with him. He is real. He's holy. And I appreciate, you know, John 15 says that now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, that David was speaking during the communion. I've been taking communion every day again. I kind of slacked off for a while and I started doing it again. There's just something that happens when I take communion. There's just something that happens, and I just love that, that there's a reality that I can receive the presence of God in my home or here. And as we join together and share communion, we're able to be in agreement with that the body and the blood of Jesus is cleansing. John 15 says, you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now you are clean through the word. Now, I can't tell you how many times when I was going through major cleansing when I first got saved, how God kept bringing that word back to me and how it so encouraged me over and over and over again. So I would encourage you to read John 15 and really come into a new understanding of who you are in Christ. You're abiding. I'm not going to teach from there. Colossians 2:8, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth, the reality that you were taught, and you will overflow with gratefulness. In the message, it says, live it and let it overflow. So that's what we want. See, the more we get filled up, see, by the time I got to that hospital, I was totally filled with God. It didn't matter who ran into me or who said what. I was already ready for that anointing to flow into that woman, which is what happened. So a king is one, and there's a lot of definitions, but of course I took the one I liked. A king is one who is crowned. He's the crowned head that's in authority by inheritance, and that's who we are. A priest is one with the authority to minister divine worship. Jesus is our head, and we are his body. He's the Messiah, and we are his offspring. He is our big brother. He's gone ahead of us to pave the way so we can follow. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. So it's cute because I kind of got that on Saturday morning about the root and the offspring. I was coming from Isaiah 11:1, which says that he's the root and the branch of Jesse and that he's going to reproduce fruit. So who's the fruit? We are the fruit. That's what Jesus' commission was, to produce fruit. But I came out of the back room to get some water, and Pastor Roy said, I just learned something, came out of his office. I said, what? He goes, I just learned that that you know what morning star means? I said, no. He said, it means the dawning of a new day. So I said, you know, see how God just continues to confirm to each of us that he's in it. He's talking. He's alive. I had reapplied to get the Elijah List messages, I can't tell you how many times, and for some reason they were not sending them to me. I said, okay. I mean, I have plenty of resources, but I kind of like that because of the prophetic, present prophetic word. So this week, lo and behold, my email ended up getting the messages. I'm like, okay, I don't read all of them because it's just too much. But yesterday morning, I just read a few of them. And one of them was about mantles. oh, we have mantles as kings and priests. I said, yes. And then there were other ones that also were. Confirmation to me, affirmation that I'm not the only one hearing this, that across the body of Christ, that's why I happen to like that, because there are people from all different walks of life, all different churches, all different places, who are they hearing the same thing, what the Spirit of God is speaking and sharing. The prophetic word about Jesus in Isaiah 11:1 is, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his root shall bear fruit. So that's the prophetic word about Jesus. So what's the prophetic word about us? His fruit. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit. That's God's heart for us, that we bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. That's what God wants. He wants us to be his disciples. Revelation 1:6. And he has made us kings and priests to God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 1:6 and another in the American Standard Version. And he made us to be a kingdom. So not only are we kings, we are a kingdom. To be priests unto his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That sister and I are of the same kinship. We have the same heart. We have the same understanding. We love Jesus the same way. We believe Jesus. I talked to a lot of Christians, and that's one of the things I said to Carmen when I was laying hands on her and praying over her, and even the other lady. I said, you know, a lot of people don't believe in healing, even as believers, even as Christians. They don't believe in healing. But I do. She goes, I do too. So we prayed together, and her mom was really in a bad shape. But, you know, I wasn't focused on her mom and what was going on in her mom. I was focused on the living God who's able to heal her mom's body, right? So, God, give me a word. That's what I kept saying. Lord, give me a word. Revelation 5:10, and you have made them a kingdom, priests and kings to our God, and they shall reign over the earth. Our limit is heaven. So do we really have a limit? No, limitless. We can ask God for whatever. As priests, we minister the benefits of the atonement, and as kings, we exercise the dominion gained over the enemy. So who gained the authority over the enemy? Who did? We did. But only through Jesus, not through the universal power that we all are one. That's a load of crud, okay? It's only through Jesus and his blood and the reality of who he is as the Son of God that we acknowledge that we're able to come into the reality of what he has won for us. We are rooted and grounded in love in Ephesians. It says, kings and priests with power and authority. Jesus' victory over the enemy's dominion and what he gained becomes effectual for those who are in him, of the same kind as him. That is, those that rise to the fullness of the stature of the life of our Messiah, mature sons and daughters of the living God in every way, totally surrendered, totally surrendered, totally surrendered. There is a present demonstration. Now listen, we're being prepared for something. What are we being prepared for? Sometimes I say, what am I being prepared for? I'm being prepared for the next leg of my journey, of course. But Jesus is coming back, and he's going to establish a millennial kingdom. For 1,000 years, he's going to reign on the earth. And those of us who are coming into that maturity will come back with him, and we will be reigning on the earth. That's what we're part of the reason why we're being prepared, so that we can reign with him. There are those who are called and not saying yes. Now that's okay. That doesn't mean that they're not walking or they're not saved. It means that they will not be able to rule and reign with him in the millennial kingdom because they will not say yes to being prepared. So I say yes, prepare me, whatever. And you know, I will tell you this, that in the preparation there are a lot of lonely moments because you and God are alone. There's no other way for you to be prepared. I can't trust and depend on Pastor Roy or my children or any of you or any of my friends who are walking with God, or so many spiritual mothers and fathers that I've sat under in their teaching, which I love, and I love to rehearse them and get them, even other members of the body across that are pastors. I have to sit with God himself, and I have to receive from his hand, from his voice, from his reality, what is going on. Is this still okay? It's all right. What? Is that good? Okay. Time out. Okay. There is a present demonstration of the millennial rule of the kingdom that is to take place within the assembly of conquerors. Who's that? The true church of Christ, his body. He's the head, we're the body. He's the head, we're the body. We're not the head, we're the body. His body as an overcoming people who have so completely submitted themselves to being made unto our God as kings and priests. Totally surrendered. Does that mean everything? Yes. Everything. Totally surrendered. God has a purpose for us on this earth as we are being prepared to reign. It is his purpose that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. So it's all about him, isn't it? So what's the first thing you say? Lord, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on here? This verse in Ephesians 1:19, which is what I just read, tells us that there is a present expression of his reign on the earth. We are part of that body that is ruling and reigning. You know, I talk about people that you meet and you're spirit to spirit. There's a ministry between. There's a witness. I had that witness with Carmen Garcia. I had that witness with Maria Garcia's daughter. I mean, Maria Garcia's mom, daughter, yes. No, whatever her name was. Maria Garcia, I had a witness with her. I never met these people before, but there was a moving of the Lord in his spirit that caused me to believe for them and to go and stand. So, having done all to stand, in Ephesians 6, now listen, the spiritual equipment that we are given is outlined. All of you hopefully are putting your armor on every morning. Belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of the gospel, shoes for your feet so you have a peaceful walk, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is listed in the Greek as a living, breathing rhema word, not just the logos, but a breathing rhema word. So as you stand, oh boy, as you stand as that king, as that priest, as you stand with that armor on, as a warrior, you have to ask God for a word for that moment, for that situation, for that place that you are. So you need to be walking in perfect harmony with him, right? You need to be hearing what he has to say to you. And that only comes from people who are spending time in the secret place and looking and listening. My neighbor next door had a birthday party for her son, and she has a problem. She has trouble being a mom. She's a very nervous mom. I call her Nervous Nelly. But I happened to be out gardening, and she came, "Hi, buddy. How you doing, Zosha? I'm good. I'm having a party for Eric." I said, "Oh, good." I said, "Have fun." She said, "I will try." So I went up, and I said, "Zosha, those are your babies. Those are your babies." And you know, her whole face lit up. She goes, "You're right." Now, was that God? Of course it was. I had an opportunity in that moment to feed her. So I heard an amazing party going on over there. All the kids were playing and laughing and screaming. Her little girl screamed all the time. But they were having a lot of fun, and I heard her voice. I heard her enjoying and joining in. So God is good. So consider the equipment that you're putting on as a warrior. Also consider it the garments of the priesthood. Now, in Hebrew, the words are talking about the priesthood. It's really amazing. The more that you study the Bible, how God uncovers truths and opens things up. Priests and kings wear special clothing, don't they? They don't just get up and throw on their jeans. They have clothing, especially priests, you know, those of the Levitical priesthood. Consider, just think about for a moment, because we do teach that they are a warfare equipment. They are, and they are weapons. Also, we are covered with the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation, but consider that they are priestly garments. So think about this. As worshipers of the Most High God, we are members of the priesthood. The garments of a Levitical priest are described as the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness, I just said that, which cover him. He is considered a man of nobility. If you're a working man, your robe was kind of short up to your knees so that you wouldn't get it caught up in whatever work you're doing. But as a priest, you're considered of noble blood. So it goes all the way down to the floor. The robes of righteousness. It's a linen robe, which talks about purity. He wears a linen vestment over a girdle composed of fine twined linen. That's what's girding his loins is fine linen. Again, talks about purity. The robe is pure linen. Added to this priesthood garments is a helmet called a mitre, and they place it on his head. The ephod, which is the breastplate, is over his heart. And then the priest has the offensive weapons of prayer and intercession as a priest, and the sword as a king. When Aaron, I didn't really study whether all the priests have this, but when Aaron was called into the priesthood and he put on the garments, they also put a crown of gold on his head, and they anointed him with oil. So, of course, you know where I went with that. So Aaron got an extra dose of prayer yesterday while I was studying this and learning. But I know he's called into the priesthood. I know he is. My last one. But all of my children are called into ministry. We had a little pie with Ben and Elaine last Sunday night. And it was funny because we were reminiscing about RCF, and he was remembering all the things that happened and all the people. And he was saying, so amazing, you know, all those people, they came out of, you know, stuff, and you really brought them into a place of restoration. He was like really exhorting us and encouraging us, which was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you think about, sometimes you need to rehearse what God has done in your life so that you can stay in the place where you are when sometimes it looks a little dark. You say, that's okay. Because, you know, and I tell my grandkids this all the time, light and dark is the same to God. So he's in the darkness and he's the light. And he's always trying to shine that light in that dark place so that he can deal with whatever it is that you're trying to hide. We have been prepared to reign. Now let's think about the garments that Jesus wears as the King of Glory, what he's wearing right now, and what he wore in the visions. If you think about when he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and he brought up his disciples, not all of them, but probably the ones that really were seeing him. And they had an open vision of him. And he had a linen, white, gleaming, amazing robe on his body. The visions of Jesus in Daniel and Revelation, I will share this with you. I know I've shared it before, but there was one moment that we were at Pinecrest Retreat Center, Pastor Roy and I, and we were just standing with Wade Taylor, and he said, let me pray. I forget what he was talking about. Let me pray for the two of you. So he had me on one side and Pastor Roy on the other side, and he just prayed for us. And I actually had an open vision of us on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wade Taylor became Jesus. It was like, I mean, it was, the glory was amazing. And I was just blown away, and I really had a hard time coming back to Earth after that. It took a while for me to, because the glory and the light of our Jehovah Jesus is absolutely amazing. It is otherworldly. It is not. You can't even imagine it, even the eclipse and the sun, and it's just beyond that. His glory is so beautiful. I love that song. The visions of Jesus in Daniel and Revelation. In the midst of the seven lampsites, lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, which represents wisdom. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Is this still recording? And his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice has the sound of many waters. Pastor Roy and I have heard the voice of many waters in corporate setting and also in a personal setting. So I have no problem believing that Jesus' voice, just like your voice, because if you're speaking Jesus' word and you're speaking some rhema word that came out of your heart, then that you are speaking the voice of Jesus. You are speaking, and the voice of many waters is coming out of you. If you're in the river and you're flowing in the river, that's what's going to come out. That's Revelation 1, 13 and 15. Also, the Levitical priests, and even where they wore the breastplate, where it was on their body, had to do with their nobility. So Jesus had it up here, so he was of a very high standard, the belt. John is using these words to give us a picture of Jesus' character, what it feels like to be in the Son of Man's presence. That's what John was writing. John was the revelator in Revelations. These are visions that he was seeing. He was using his words to try to describe it, but again, it's very difficult. I know many of you have also heard and seen the Son of God. It's difficult to describe. The Levitical priests were of the noble class and wore these long robes, the same that is similar to what John described. Exodus 28:4 and Exodus 29:5. It's very interesting to study about I just find it fascinating about the Levitical priests. Thus we see Jesus in a garment that is roughly reminds a person of the priestly garments, but shows him to be far superior. It is also a kingly garment as well. Daniel 10:5-6. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like a burnished bronze in color. It was not bronze. And the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. God's voice is tumultuous. It's the roar of a huge waterfall. It's a voice that cannot be ignored. It is heard from a distance and felt in every fiber of your being, holding authority and power. Jesus' feet are described as being like polished bronze, still glowing from the furnace. It is a description of a person who is able to stomp out any opposition, leaving nothing but ashes behind. We have this authority. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. There is speaking from the word that the enemy will not have root or branch. But we have a root and a branch, which is the offspring of David, who is Jesus himself. But to those of you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. And you shall trample the wicked, for there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 4, 1, 2, 3, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6 declares that we stand, and having done all, we stand. Jesus defeated the enemy in Colossians, talks about triumphing I love that whole description about how he just made a display of the enemy openly, triumphing over it. He just destroyed all of our enemies. The warfare is not in us battling the enemy. The warfare is us battling our minds and what we believe and what we move and how we act in a situation. Because if Jesus has already defeated the devil, crushed him under his feet, made him like ashes, who are we to think that we can fight the devil? We can't. We don't have to. He's already been dead. He's already been slaughtered. He's already been overcome. So in this realm, until he's permanently in the pit where he, which has been dug for him, the fighting is what are we believing? How much are we engaging in the reality of the Lord in our hearts and minds? We stand in victory, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. We need to understand who we are in Christ. That's where the battle is. Who are you in Christ? Kings and priests walking in authority and power with the mind of Christ, worshiping the King of glory. As priests, we minister the benefits of the atonement. The benefits of the atonement, you can study that. Well, what's the atonement? What? All the things that Jesus suffered on his body killed and destroyed our enemies. Disease, 39 stripes on his back. Mental distress, emotional disorder, he took thorns in his head. So we could have the mind of God. Physically beaten, destroyed, separated from God for those few moments, which I'm sure to him as a man were horrendously horrible. But he won victory for us in physical, that we can stand and come against any disease that might try to rob us of our health. We can say, no, I am the body of Christ. As priests, we minister the benefits of the atonement to ourselves and to those around us. And as kings, we exercise the dominion gained over the enemy by our Lord that we are completely surrendered to, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have weapons as we stand in the truth, the reality of the living Christ, the armor of God to stand against the enemy's deception on our minds. Truth as a girdle and righteousness as a breastplate, which covers our hearts that are fully submitted towards him. Faith as our shield and salvation as our helmet. The word of God, you can include that crown and that anointing. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, a present rhema word that we have heard from God himself again to remind us that we need to hear a rhema word in the situation that we find ourselves in. And prayer as our sacrifices to our high priest. The priests of King Jesus, kings in his kingdom, and the servants of our God will say in that day, Isaiah 61, 6 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in God. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So what are we to do with these positions as a king and a priest? What are we to do with it? Walk, sit, and stand in authority and pray for ourselves, our families, our church, our nation, our world, and to represent Jesus. We are to represent Jesus. We are to be representatives of Jesus Christ. You know, when you share the truth about who he is with someone, there's an anointing on the words. And I know for me, when I right after I have spoken, I go back and, oh no, did I say the right thing? And I go through this, you know, I don't do that anymore. Because I stop and I say, I trust you, Lord. I trust that the words that came out of my mouth, because I am submitted totally to you, are the words that you desire to be spoken in that situation. And I thank you for that. So I'm able to do that. There are people that really want what we have. They really want it. They may not be willing to go to the cross themselves, and this is, I'm going to end on this. As a king and a priest, there's no room for sin in your life. If you go back through Rome, and I include Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, if you go through it, even if you make it your business to memorize some of it, I can tell you different points in my life where God illuminated different parts of it. And all this week, all he kept saying to me was, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. See, standing as a king and a priest, sin no longer has dominion over you. 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 So therefore, you stand as a king and priest over yourself first, so that your sin nature will be brought to the cross and crucified. And you, in your new nature, your new man will rise, and you'll not be functioning in that old nature anymore. Your new man will rise up as a king and priest, and you will overcome. And that's a position that we want to remain in every circumstance that we find ourselves, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Don't forget that last one, because you have to love not your life unto death. There is a death process that's in this becoming a king and a priest, and that is laying down your life before the king. But oh, what glorious, majestic glory flows into our bodies when we get rid of those things that are always trying to overcome us, either in our thoughts or people around us or whatever. I could have walked in that hospital and been totally overwhelmed by all the sickness and everything else that was going in there. I didn't even think twice about it because I was already filled with God. So let's just pray for a minute and having done all to stand. Father, I thank you for the anointing on your word. I pray over each soul here that has taken the time to come, that they receive the anointing. They receive the golden glory. Even all of that which was in the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded, that was the symbol and the reality of him being the priest and him being the man that was to be the worshiper. The golden pot of manna and the Ten Commandments, all of that representative of our living Jesus. So we come into an understanding, Jesus, as king and priest of your kingdom, that we are right here, a kingdom of believers. So I pray for the anointing to flood in each person. I pray that they will have a divine encounter with you today, if they have not had it already since they've come into the door. That they would have it today, Lord, a divine encounter with Jesus, who is the King of Glory. That they would come into a new understanding, be raised up into a new place to understand as a king and a priest of the Most High God and the kingdom of God, they will be able to rule and reign over every situation they find themselves in, not only personal, but in their families, in their church, in the nation, in the world. Father, we do lift up this country. We join our hearts together as the bride of Christ. We join our hearts and our minds together in agreement to pray for this country, that it will come into a place of understanding that you are Lord. I pray for the church, the true body of Christ in America, that we will rise up together and pray and believe that as we pray, your word says, if my people will call by my name, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn and I will hear their prayers. So, Father, we know that you are turning and hearing our prayers even today. And that many souls who are praying and lifting up this country, desiring that we would not come under judgment, that we would come into a place of acknowledging you as Lord. Father, I'm in agreement with that company of people who love you, and this company of people right here who love you. And we pray for those who are not here, that you will touch them today. You will draw them into your holy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I do want to thank you for your beautiful birthday wishes and your generous gifts to me. And thank you.